hearty greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off in Cameroon, where the Africa Women's Cup of Nations football tournament officially begins Saturday in the capital, Yaoundé. The eight teams are divided into two groups. Group A has Egypt, South Africa, Zimbabwe, and host Cameroon. Group B features Mali, Ghana, Kenya, and defending champion Nigeria. The group matches will go through November 26th, and then the top two teams in each group will advance to the semifinals to be played on November 29th in Yaoundé and Limbé. The final will be played on December 3rd in Yaoundé. Joining us now with more on the Africa Women's Cup of Nations, as well as other African sports news, is reporter Samson Omale.
The Women's African Cup of Nations will start tomorrow, Saturday, when host Cameroon take on Egypt in Game 1 at the Ahmadou Ahidjo Omini Sport Complex in Yaoundé. Defending champions, the Super Falcons of Nigeria, will be led by their coach, Florence Omagbemi, who is describing the Super Falcons as one of the favorites.
As a champion and as a defending champion, any situation you find yourself, you want to make use of it very well. So I would say we will try to do our best with where we are right now and not to make sure we don't let Nigeria down when we go to Cameroon.
Osinachi Ohale is a Super Falcons vice captain and she's confident they'll put up a good showing in Cameroon.
We are very, very in good shape and in good position. We are very, very positive and we responded well to our training sessions.
South Africa's Desiree Ellis will be leading Bayana Bayana's quest for glory as a first-time coach after a spectacular career as a player.
As we get closer to the first game, we'll concentrate on the analysis of Zimbabwe and see how we can outsmart them because obviously they've also seen us play the same with Egypt, but before we even get to that, we then have to concentrate on Cameroon, but we'll take it game by game.
Bayana, our four-time runners-up, team captain Janine Van Wyk says the matches against these opponents will be a completely new game and past results mean nothing when they meet.
You know, any team that goes there wants to be African champions, and I think personally for me, I would want a gold medal. I have a bronze, I have a silver, but I'm missing that gold medal and it's really what I want to achieve before I retire.
Cheery news coming from South Africa rugby side, the Springbok, whose record try scorer, Brian Habana, is back at left wing for the Springbok as they prepare to face Italy in Florence on Saturday. While the rest of the team that played England in London was kept unchanged, Springbok coach Alistair Cozzi says his team had a good training week in Florence and is looking forward to an improved performance from his side.
The first thing is not to worry too much and look at the outcome. We've got to stay process driven. We've got to make sure that we eliminate those soft moments and be really, really hard on the basics and get that right.
In athletics news, no African athlete was named in the 16 athletes, including 10 medalists who were on Thursday disqualified by the International Olympic Committee for doping at the 2008 Beijing Games. The 10 medalists who competed in weightlifting, wrestling, and athletics were all found to have taken banned substances after retesting of samples. In basketball news, Tunisia's ES Sahel qualified for the semifinal of the Arab Club Basketball Championship after beating Saudi Al Fahd 91-56 at a quarterfinal game played on Thursday evening in Seoul. Tunisia's DS Grombaila had earlier suffered an elimination to Morocco's AS Sale 69-73. In Nigeria, president of the Nigerian Basketball Federation says 9 teams from the Atlantic Conference and 8 from the Savannah Conference in the lower division will be competing for 2 slots to qualify them for the elite division.
For now, it's only the Premiership that is sponsored for us. And what we try to do is to sell, you know, this lower division.
In other sports news, the 13th FINA World Swimming Championships in Canada, scheduled to hold from the 6th to the 11th of December 2016, will see South African twin brothers Alad and Alaik Basson flying the continent's flag at the championships. The Basson brothers qualified at the SA National Aquatic Championships in Durban. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoje here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brilafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
Cleveland Cavaliers basketball star LeBron James is giving back to a great boxing champion who helped shape his life. During Thursday's Sunny Side of Sports, VOA's Andrew Palcheski talked about how LeBron is donating $2.5 million to support a Muhammad Ali exhibit at the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture, right here in Washington. Muhammad Ali died earlier this year on June 3rd at the age of 74. A few days after Ali's death, LeBron was one of the sports stars who talked about the influence he had on their lives.
As a kid, I gravitated towards him because he was a champion. But I only knew as a kid what he did inside the ring. As I got older and I started to be more knowledgeable about the sport, about sport in general, and about the guys who paved the way for guys like myself, I understood that he is the greatest of all time, and he was the greatest of all time because of what he did outside of the ring. Obviously, we knew how great of a boxer he was, but I think that was only 20% of what made him as great as he was.
LeBron James and the defending NBA champion Cleveland Cavaliers will be back on the court later Friday night when they host the Detroit Pistons. LeBron was sensational during the NBA Finals in June when he led the Cavaliers to their first championship. In this sunny side of sports highlight for 2016, let's look back on the NBA Finals. And the package begins with LeBron commenting on leading Cleveland to the title.
I came back for a reason. I came back to bring a championship to our city. I knew what I was capable of doing. I knew what I learned in the last couple of years that I was gone. And when I came back, I knew I had the right ingredients and the right blueprint to help this franchise get back to a place that we've never been. And right now, it's just excitement. You know, it's not even relief. It's just excitement for us as a team, as a franchise, as a city, as a community, to be able to continue to build up our city, continue to be an inspiration to our city. It means everything, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
That's LeBron James, happy to be a part of the city of Cleveland's first major professional sports championship in 52 years. LeBron and the Cleveland Cavaliers edged the host Golden State Warriors 93-89 in Oakland, California, in a thrilling Game 7 of the National Basketball Association Finals. It was the first NBA title for the Cavaliers, who entered the league in 1970 as an expansion club. The Cavs are also the first team to come back from a 3-1 deficit in NBA Finals history. In addition, the Cavaliers gain revenge after losing to the Warriors in the 2015 NBA Finals 4-2. The decisive Game 7 of the 2016 NBA Finals is being described as one of the great games in the history of the league. It featured 20 lead changes and 11 ties. LeBron James was a unanimous choice as the most valuable player of the NBA Finals after finishing with a triple-double, 27 points, 11 rebounds, and 11 assists, along with 3 blocks, including a key block of Andre Iguodala to prevent a go-ahead layup with 1 minute and 50 seconds left. Now, with less than a minute left in the game and the score tied at 89, Cleveland star guard Kyrie Irving hit a crucial 3-point shot to give the Cavs the lead for good.
And it was 89-89 in that fourth quarter. So I was just thinking the next team that scores has a great chance of winning the championship, and I hope that we can be the team that's on that end.
Kyrie Irving finished with 26 points in Game 7. Remember, VOA basketball fans, Kyrie broke his kneecap in Game 1 of last year's NBA Finals and missed the rest of the series. On Sunday night, Irving outplayed Golden State's 2-time league most valuable player, Stephen Curry.
Yeah, it stung. It sucked to watch him, you know, celebrate, and wish that would have been us. But at the end of the day, you congratulate them for accomplishing what they set out to do. And it'll be a good image for us over the summer and all next season to remember, so that, you know, we come back stronger. That's all you can do.
Steph Curry had 17 points in Game 7, but he shot poorly, missing 13 of the 19 shots he took. Steph's teammate Draymond Green was Golden State's best player on Sunday night. He scored 32 points, grabbed 15 rebounds, and had 9 assists. But after winning a record 73 games during the regular season, the Warriors came up short in the NBA Finals. Talk to us, Draymond.
It's been an amazing year. We failed at one goal we had, you know, but this whole season isn't a failure to me. You know, we accomplished some great things. We didn't reach the end prize, but there'll be more years for that.
Draymond Green talks about not reaching the end prize, that is, the NBA championship. Well, Draymond did get a pretty nice prize after the NBA Finals. In August, he and Klay Thompson and new Warriors teammate Kevin Durant helped win a gold medal for the USA in men's basketball at the Rio Olympics in Brazil. The Warriors will also be back on the court later Friday night. They play a road game against the host Boston Celtics. And with the addition of superstar Kevin Durant, the Warriors look like they're ready to make another charge to the NBA Finals. They've won 9 of their first 11 games. The Celtics, meanwhile, winners of a record 17 NBA titles, have a record of 4 wins and 7 losses. My beloved Washington Wizards have been less than magical to start the NBA season, but the Wizards picked up their 3rd victory of the season Thursday night here in Washington. They beat the New York Knicks 119-112. Star guard John Wall led the Wizards with 23 points and 11 rebounds. Washington improved its record to 3 wins and 8 losses, while New York now has a record of 5 victories and 7 defeats. In Thursday night's other NBA results, the Chicago Bulls scored an 85-77 road victory over the Utah Jazz. The Miami Heat snapped a 6-game losing streak with a 96-73 win over the Milwaukee Bucks. The Houston Rockets beat the Portland Trail Blazers 126-109. Houston star guard James Harden, who sports my favorite beard in basketball, had a triple-double, 26 points, 14 assists, and 12 rebounds. And in one more NBA result, the Minnesota Timberwolves beat the visiting Philadelphia 76ers 110-86. Andrew Wiggins had 35 points and 10 rebounds for the T-Wolves. In pro boxing, our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, says it's game on next week for a local favorite fighter nicknamed Game Boy.
Ghana's professional boxer Emmanuel Tego, popularly known as Game Boy, will next week clash with Argentine Fernando David Saucedo for the vacant International Boxing Organization World Lightweight title. The IBO fight is scheduled for November 25th at the newly built Bukom Arena in Accra, which was inaugurated last Tuesday by Ghana's president John Mahama. Tego, in an interview, promises Ghanaian fans to end the upcoming fight in the third round. The Ghanaian boxer holds the WBA International Lightweight Belt, won in 2015, and his last fight was in July when he knocked out Filipino Carlo Magali at the Accra Sports Stadium in round 8 to make his second defense of his WBA belt. Next week's bout will be handled by UK-based referee Michael Alexander, with Alan Matakane, Terence Makazulo of South Africa, and Michael Hook as judges. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabnofori in Accra.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
Joining us once again is the Voice of America's Andrew Palcheski, our social media reporter. Happy Friday and sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny, and a very happy Friday to you, too.
Happy Friday also to all of our VOA listeners. I understand Poppygate. Poppygate is trending.
Poppygate.
Tell me about that.
Poppygate is the hashtag. So let's go back to a week ago, last Friday, November 11th. Of course, Armistice Day, Veterans Day here in the U.S., remembering men and women around the world who have served. And England and Scotland, their football teams, are playing a World Cup qualifier match at Wembley Stadium. And since it falls on Armistice Day, they're wearing armbands with the poppy symbol. Of course, in the UK and many other parts of the world, they wear poppies to remember in November men and women who have served in the armed forces. So they're wearing these armbands with the poppies on them. Both teams are wearing these in honor of those veterans on Armistice Day. Well, flash forward a week later, and FIFA is now saying they're going to instate some disciplinary actions against both teams for wearing those armbands, claiming that it was a political symbol. You're not allowed to wear political symbols when you're playing as part of FIFA's rules. There's some other things that they're going after, saying that there was pre-game conduct and this and that. But the big thing here that fans have seized on is the fact that they wore these poppy armbands, and FIFA is going after the teams because of that. And that has resulted in, as we said, this hashtag Poppygate. By and large, fans are very much against this decision, going after FIFA, saying, sort out your own corruption problems first before you go after England and Scotland for wearing these armbands. The fact that they were wearing the armbands, not as a political statement, but as a way to honor men and women who have served in the armed forces, they said it just really doesn't sit well with a lot of people. One tweet said that, you know, FIFA, in going after them for this, is disgraceful, corrupt, immoral. So really strong language on social media. One person very smartly pointed out that they said, the bigger issue here, why were they playing this match on Armistice Day? Maybe they shouldn't have been playing in the first place. So that's something interesting to think about, too, the scheduling with this. But FIFA making even more enemies in social media because they're going after England and Scotland over the poppy armbands.
Any reaction from the teams themselves, Andrew?
I don't know if there's been any official reaction from the teams. I know that the football federations for each country have come out and said they will fight these charges that FIFA has levied. And I know some of the players have come out and used some not nice language to say that they were not in support of this. Some of them just using very strong language, saying that it's a shame that they're going after them. But yes, I knew the football federations themselves who govern the football teams for the countries, they are going to go after this and fight this.
What else is trending in the sports world on this Friday, Andrew?
Well, those armbands got them in trouble. Something else that another player put on didn't get him in trouble, but is raising some eyebrows, and that's Cam Newton, the quarterback for the Carolina Panthers in the National Football League. His team played the New Orleans Saints last night, and they won 23-20 in Thursday Night Football. But it wasn't so much his performance on the field, at least not during the game. It was before the game, his warm-up cleats. He had these black, white, and gold pregame cleats that he wore that had, apparently, foxtail fur on the back of them, these little fur tails hanging off the back of his cleats. And it raised a lot of eyebrows. We've talked on the show in the past, Cam Newton is, sartorially probably one of the most stylish, if not bizarre, players in the NFL. He wears some maybe questionable outfits, and this is one of them. People saying everything from it looks like roadkill to they called them squirrel cleats because it looked like squirrel tails. Someone said it was from the Zsa Zsa Gabor collection, of course, a very fashionable actress. And just the overwhelming question, though, what are those? People wondering, what are those shoes? What is he doing? Why is he wearing this? His team ended up winning, so I guess it helped him, but still a lot of question marks.
Cam Newton, as you mentioned, Andrew, one of the flashiest dressers in the NFL, maybe the biggest quarterback in terms of size in the NFL. I think he attracts attention just for his sheer size.
You know, I think so. And one person was very, did some great research, and they found the picture of Cam Newton when he was going into the Super Bowl wearing these black, white, and gold pants. So they're saying maybe this is something he's trying to send a signal with these pregame cleats and saying, hey, we're going back to the Super Bowl because he wore the same colors. I don't know if we can necessarily extrapolate that, but I did read also somebody tweeted out and said that he's spent, I think it was upwards of $12,000 on a bunch of fox fur and foxtails. So maybe this is some of the fox fur that he purchased. He's incorporating that into his cleats, but a bizarre place to show it off, certainly on the practice field. And then other people putting, you know, pictures up. There was one set of practice cleats that he wore that were kind of this neon green and orange, and they said it was maybe an homage to the children's Cartoon Network Nickelodeon here in the United States. So he makes some interesting choices, interesting statements with his clothes, and even now with his cleats in the game.
Andrew, you talk about fox fur and fox tail. I understand another animal is trending in the sports world.
Yes, not a fox, but a deer. And this is the Gwynedd Mercy University having a cross-country meet here in the U.S. Of course, the runners, they go out in the woods. They run, you know, 5, 6, 7 kilometers throughout the woods in the cross-country. And this runner, Justin DeLuzio, was running along, and the university is filming all the runners. And all of a sudden, they're running through this field, and these deer pop up. And the deer just are bolting across the field. Unfortunately for Justin DeLuzio, one of those deers smacks right into him, knocks him off his feet. You can see in the video, he gets lifted into the air. The deer goes down. He goes down. The deer gets up and kind of runs off. He gets up, shakes it off, keeps running, and the university put out a statement on social media saying he got up and finished that 6K race, even though he got hit by a deer. But the video is pretty astounding that he wasn't seriously injured, and that, you know, he just made contact. So, of course, the jokes are coming in. Draft that deer for the National Football League. If they can take down that runner, they need to be in the NFL. And somebody else said, bet he wishes he ran a little bit faster. Maybe he was just running a bit faster on his pace. He wouldn't have been in the wrong place at the wrong time to make contact with that deer. But, yeah, our listeners can go find that on social media, that video, because it is pretty amazing.
It also reminds me of that expression, deer in headlights.
Yeah,
like a deer in headlights.
That was certainly what happened. It was boom. And down they go.
Thanks, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Have a good weekend, Andrew.
You too.
And that wraps up the November 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Zeinab Abdulrahman. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Earlier this month, the house of Ghanaian presidential candidate Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo was attacked. The United States Embassy in Ghana condemned the assault, saying violence has no place in the electoral process. In the period leading up to and following Ghana's elections on December 7th, the United States calls on all actors to remain peaceful and respect the democratic process. The United States does not support a particular candidate or a particular party. We support democracy, said the U.S. Embassy statement. We will continue to work with the freely elected government of Ghana, just as we always have. The United States urges all parties to make clear to their constituents that any violence or attempts to use intimidation to disrupt the democratic process is unacceptable. This will be the country's seventh poll since the return to multi-party democracy in 1992. President John Dramani Mahama is running on the ticket of the National Democratic Congress for a second term. Five other candidates qualified to run for the presidency. Ghanaians from across the political spectrum have worked hard to build one of the leading democracies in Africa. State Department Press Office Director Elizabeth Trudeau said, "We specifically call on candidates, their parties, and their supporters to reaffirm their pledges to renounce violence and settle any disputes through the judicial process."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at voanews.com/editorials.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Next on Straight Talk Africa, Joyce Banda, the former president of Malawi. She'll discuss what Africa can learn from the U.S. elections and the peaceful transition of power from one leader to another. That's right here on Straight Talk Africa at 1830 UTC.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.